Okay, all right. Well, there is an outline of the Bible study in your bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, you didn't get a. I have an extra one. Does anybody? I remember in Sunday school after church we would make airplanes out of them. And a paid political advertisement. I approve this message of the Waynesboro New Hope Shelter. So I have some propaganda here from the shelter if you're interested in the shelter and what we're doing over there. I think we have 26, on Friday at least we had 26 people over there. And one of the moms came 9 months pregnant and had her baby Friday. So we rescue lots of women and children and men. And it's a very needed thing. We don't take any government money. I'm not against their money, but it comes with strings attached, so we don't want any of those strings. If you look at California, you see their strings don't work very good. But I thank you. I'll get off of that. And wow. Last Sunday, I was supposed to be here, and we watched the weather, and it kept getting worse and worse, and then we had snow and ice, and then this week, I was watching the weather, and we're supposed to get an inch and a half of rain, and I said, oh, now we got floods, and so, Pastor Joe, I don't think you should invite me. I'm scared. Might be tornadoes or earthquakes next time you invite me to speech. I don't know, but... Reminds me of this story I heard. A man, he was going into surgery. He was in the hospital room and, you know, kind of contemplative. And if you've ever had surgery, you know, changes your life. And his wife was there, and he took her hand, and he was thinking and looked at her and said, you know, dear, you were there when I had that car accident and was almost killed, and then you were there that day I fell off the roof and broke my leg, and now you're here with me with surgery. You're just bad luck. So hopefully I'm not bad luck, okay? All right. Well, we're here to talk about the Lord, and if you're living in the will of the Lord, there is no luck, is there? And so I'd like to talk about our Lord Jesus and our spiritual identity, which is found in Jesus Christ. And so let's pause for a moment. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit would come and teach us and guide us through your word, that we may know more about Jesus, because Jesus is all we need. In your name we pray. Amen. So your ID, your identity, is to be found in Jesus Christ. And my first point there is the real ID. And you've probably heard about the real ID. In Pennsylvania, we have to have it by October. Not sure about Maryland. Do you have to have it? First of October? Okay. So you have to have it if you're going to fly in an airplane. The regular ID doesn't work. And working with people, homeless people in Waynesboro, many of them have lost their ID. I don't know how they do that, but they get arrested and they don't take their wallet. I had one guy, his car got repossessed and his wallet was in the car. Some women, they just flee the violence and they leave everything there. And so you got to have your ID in this world, do you not? Yes. And you got to have your real ID in the spiritual world to really know who you truly are. And so the verse that we're basing this whole Bible study on is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's in your outline right there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Amen? Let's say that together. I am a new creation in Christ. Let's say that. I am a new creation in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. One more time. I am a new creation in Christ. If you build your spiritual identity, your self-image, your self-worth upon that, you will have a balanced life. You will have a peace that passes understanding. And so that is what we have to do. And you say, well, what is this new creation all about? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because in this book by Lewis Sperry Schaeffer called Salvation, he has a chapter in here that lists 33 things that happen when you become a Christian at salvation. And so I'm going to read them to you. 33 things. Number one was you're in the eternal plan of God. And the verses here, which I won't read, talk about being foreknown, elect, predestined, chosen, and called. Then number two, we're reconciled. Three, we're redeemed. On, we're related to God through propitiation. All our sins are covered by the atoning blood. Amen. We're vitally co-joined to Christ. And it's, we're crucified with him. We're dead with Christ. We're buried with him. And we're raised to walk in new life. You want more? Okay, that's only six. We're free from the law. We're children of God, meaning we were born again, quickened, sons of God, new creation, regeneration. Nine, we're adopted as sons. We're acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That means we're made the righteousness of God in him. We're sanctified positionally. We're perfected forever. We're made accepted in the beloved. That's just 10 of them. I feel like those info commercials, and there's, you know, and that's not all. Are you getting excited yet? Number 11, you're justified, forgiven of all forgiving of all trespass. I got to settle down here. Made nigh, this just gets me excited. I mean, we watch football games, and we get all excited, and yay for my team, and this is exciting stuff. Amen? Amen. So who's going to win, the Chiefs or the 49ers? Who cares? Okay. You know, but that's true. You think about the craziness that goes on. Somebody scores a touchdown. Big deal. I mean, these 33 things are what happened to us in Christ. This is amazing. So I tried to say forgiven of all trespass. We're made nigh. We're delivered from the powers of darkness. We're translated into kingdom. We're on the rock. We're a gift from God to Christ. We're circumcised in Christ, partakers of the holy royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. We have access to God. We're within the much more care of God, which means we're objects of his love, objects of his grace, objects of his power, objects of his faithfulness, objects of his peace, objects of his consolation, and objects of intercession. And that's not all. You getting excited? We're his inheritance. He's our inheritance. We have a heavenly association. We're partners in Christ. We're partners in his suffering. We're partners in his service. What's this, number 29? We're heavenly citizens. We're the family and household of God. We're light in the Lord. Number 30, we're blessed with the first fruits of the earnest of the Spirit. Then we're glorified. We're complete in him. And 33, we possess every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what we build who we are is all about. That is our image. That's what gives us worth. And that is what is going to give us the joy of the Lord, if we build our identity on him. Now, if we don't, we have a mistaken identity. And that means if you can build your self-worth on other things, such as what I'm doing, what I'm achieving, what I own, or people's opinion. I wish we had time, but we don't have time to go in and all that. But your position, your performance, your possessions, or if you're a people pleaser. If you build your self-worth on those things, it's not going to work. Because if you do what you're doing, you got to keep doing. If it's what you achieve, you got to keep attaining. If it's what you own, then you got to keep buying. If it's your people's opinion, then you got to have other people's approval. This will not satisfy you. This will not give you security. This will not give you satisfaction. It will cause an identity crisis within you if you build your life around those things. On point C there, you will lose your significance, security, and satisfaction unless you build your self-identity in Jesus Christ. Significance is value. Security is you feel safe. and satisfaction, you have joy and peace. And so you have to look at yourself as who you are in Christ to find these things. And so that comes from the inside. You have to have the mind of Christ, and you'll have that significant security and satisfaction. But there's influences from the outside that come upon you. There's negative influence that come upon you, and that is from the devil. We have an enemy, do we not? And so you cannot listen to the lies and the accusations of the deceiver. So inside, because we have a fallen nature, and sometimes we don't think clearly, we can think that we can build our self-worth on these things, which has negative consequences. But then there's the external that comes upon us, and those are the lies and the accusations of the deceiver. So it's internal and external influences. The identity theft. Satan is trying to mess up your mind and just fill your mind full of lies. And that if you believe those lies, it's going to mess your identity and your self-worth. John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I take that verse out with Jesus talking to the Jews, and the devil, he is a liar. That's his native language. I mean, when the devil speaks, it is lies. It's not like E.F. Hutton. You don't want to listen to him, right? You know, when he speaks, you listen. Don't listen to the devil, because he's a liar and a father of lies. Some of the lies I have there. God will never love you. God will never accept you. God will never forgive you or use you. You know, you're just not good enough. You know, you're too dumb. You're not pretty. God could never love you. What you did was so bad, you could never be forgiven. Or you have no gifts, no talents. God could never use you. The truth is, God will always love you. Amen? Amen. He will always accept you. Amen. He will always forgive you. Amen. He will always use you. Amen. And when I say use, I don't mean use in a negative. You know what I mean. Use you for his honor and glory. Not use you to humiliate you, but use you. You are gifted. You have spiritual gifts from God. Every one of you have a way to serve the Lord. That is the truth. I wish we had more time, but in Zechariah, there's this scene where Joshua the high priest, I'll read it. Then they showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." You know, there's like a courtroom scene, and you have Satan pointing his bony finger at Joshua the high priest and is making accusations, telling lies about him. And the Lord, and I think it's the Lord Jesus Christ, stands there and says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." I mean, we've all been in courtrooms, and you have the prosecuting attorney, and he's up there to tell everything bad that the person has done, the defendant. And then there's the defense attorney. And the defense attorney explains to the judge why they are innocent. And look at this verse here in 1 John 2:1. "My dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin..." Okay, thank you, Lord. "We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense." That is our advocate. In the Greek there, that's the same word for the defense attorney. And that defense attorney that we have, our advocate, is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. And so this, you think of this courtroom scene where God is the judge. He's up on there, up to the bench. And then you have the prosecuting attorney coming and speaking lies. And then you have Jesus saying, "I object. The blood of Christ is over all those sins. He is forgiven. He's justified. He's redeemed." Amen. And so don't look at yourself as one that isn't worthy, that can't be used, that can't be forgiven, can't be loved. God loves you. And Revelations 12:10. You know, Satan is going to get his just desserts. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Amen. It won't always be like this, ladies and gentlemen. So the choice comes down. Who are you going to believe? All right? Who are you going to call? You're going to believe what Jesus says about you, or you're going to believe what Satan says about you. Right? Amen. And you got to train your brain. You got to, all this internal stuff, our internal stuff, and all the external stuff, and you can't believe that negative lies. Believe what the Word of God says about you. God loves you. God accepts you. God forgives you. God can use you for his honor and glory. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? And I want to illustrate in just the next point in four different ways. And I have blessed with four grandchildren. And one of my one's a grandson. And we went to a lake. And he likes skipping rocks. You ever take flat rocks and skip it? You know, and see how many times it'll. And I feel like what I'm going to do here with these four examples of our position in Christ is the truth is a huge lake, and I'm going to take a rock and I'm going to go spick, and I'm going to just go like this. So every one of these could take a sermon to go over, but I'm trying to just skip over the lake and give you the truth to build your identity in Jesus Christ. The first example there is, I'm a saint of God and not a sinner in his eyes. From Romans 1 verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. See, who are we? We're saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That word saints means holy one. Now, I know that sometimes we don't feel very holy, but our position in Christ, the way God looks at us, he's not looking at your sin. He's looking at the blood of Christ, that you're forgiven. So look at yourself as a holy one, that you are in Christ. When you look in the mirror, don't look at all the defects, because when Jesus and God looks at you, he looks at the perfection, because your sins are forgiven. Don't be so hard on yourself. Remember that God loves you. God knows where the flesh is weak. Jesus experienced the flesh. He was tempted. He never sinned, but he understands. You know, so just try to do better. Like Michael was saying, be saved to sin more. We have all these 33 things from this book, and we're saved. Now let's live for the Lord, right? Yeah. You know, we are saints, and if you're not born again, you're an ain't, okay? And so don't be an ain't, be a saint, all right? Number two. I am a son or child of God through the adoption, and he is my father. So you're a saint of God. You're not a sinner in his eyes. You are a child of God because he's adopted you, which makes you his father. He is your father, and you are his child. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. A whole different relationship here. You're not a slave. You're a son. That's a whole different relationship. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit which makes you a slave again. You're not a slave to fear. But you received the spirit of sonship. And we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. What a different relationship it is between a slave and a son. Completely different. I love the stories in the Gospels about Jesus saying, let the children come to me, don't hinder them. And he put his hands on them and he prayed them. And you've probably seen pictures. I imagine him holding the children. And I want you to see that's the God that we have, the Father that loves you, that wants to hold you. In spiritual, I know it's, you know, someday we'll be able to experience it, you know, we'll be able to see God and see Jesus, but now see that God loves you as a child, and Jesus holding the children. That is how we are to see ourselves. We are his children, and he is our father. Number three, I'm skipping, aren't I? I'm really skipping over the water of that lake. I am the temple of God and serve as his priest. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? We are the temple of God. We have the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, God's spirit takes residence in us. God doesn't make junk, right? You know, you are special. Yes, I have sinned. I have trashed the temple. You know, I'm dealing with the homeless. I've seen the ravages that drugs do to a body and to a life. But, you know, I'm no better. I'm not an addict to drugs or alcohol. I have a job. You know, it's easy to put them down. You know, but I'm no better than them. I maybe have this many sins and they have this many. But you know what? I'm still a sinner. Amen. Right? It's just, you know, and as the director there, I try to build them up. You know they don't have any good self-image. You know, no job, no car, no ID, you know, and, you know, they're sick. They come in and they're drug sick, and then you got to get them better. And, you know, yes, we have damaged our temple, but the Holy Spirit is great at cleaning the house. Yeah. He's a good house cleaner. The blood of Christ washes away every sin. And so don't look at yourself as some damaged person, but see yourselves as a temple of God. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know, look at what you are here. Chosen, royal priesthood, holy nation. You belong to God. Now let's shout praises to him. Amen. That's out of, woo. Man, Jesus made a touchdown. You know, our team's winning. Satan, zero. Jesus, the saints. 1,000,000,000. You know, that would be the score. Don't believe the lies that Satan is trying to tell you. All right, so we're a saint, we're a child of God, we're the temple of God, and now we are a friend of God. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. The other verses said, we're not slaves, we're sons. Here we're not servants, we're friends. And Jesus shares things with us. We are sharing of life. You can talk to Jesus and bless you, my wife. And, you know, God is not mad at you. You are a friend of God. You know. Yeah, he disciplines us. We discipline our children, but we don't disinherit our children because they goofed up. You know? So God isn't going to throw you out of his family. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross. I have two sons and a daughter, and you're not getting my sons, you know. You can have me, but I would never, you know, sacrifice my sons. But God loves us so much, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. God loves you. He is not mad at you. All right, so my final point, I'm trying to wrap this all together, is that my spiritual identity is, it's not based on my feelings, but the truth of God. It's not based on my performance or worthiness, and it's based on God's love, grace, and mercy, and it is a free gift. Okay, I have a $1,000 bill here, okay? And who would want my $1,000 bill? Michael, thank you for helping me.
Thank you. So this is my $1,000 bill. Relax. And so here, you take this, and whose name is, let's see, whose name is this now? Okay. The United States of America is on my $1 million bill. He's smart. So, whose name is on that? United States, right? Who's the creator of that $1 bill?
The treasurer.
The treasurer, right. Who determines the value of that? Can I say it's $1 million bill? No. It's determined by the creator. And you're a creation of God. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. So he determines the value, right? It is not based on your feelings. I don't care how you feel. You may feel unworthy. You may feel unloved. But the truth is in God's word. So get your feelings out of the way and start believing the truth of God. It's not based on your performance or your worthiness. Because we're not worthy. We can't perform good enough, can we? No. That's what grace is all about. It's based on grace of God's love and mercy. And so it is a free gift. Like I gave Michael my $1 million bill freely, you know, freely. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. All of this I've talked about is a free gift. And the last verse there, Ephesians. How did I get 1 John out of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with almost every spiritual blessing in Christ. No? Okay. With a few spiritual blessings in Christ. Oh. I got to learn to read. Something's wrong with these, my eyes. They must be old. With every spiritual blessing in Christ, every blessing. My challenge to you this morning is to start living your life in the truth and not the lies. Let's pray. Time for a little introspection here. You know if you've been believing the lies or the truth. Oh, Heavenly Father, let us reject the lies. Let us believe the truth. Just before I pray a very short prayer, if you need help in believing the truth, ask the Holy Spirit, ask Jesus, ask God, ask for help right now. Ask the Lord. And Lord, we do pray for all of us that we would believe the truth, that we are saints, we're children, we're the temple, and we're a friend. Help us to live this way. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has never received you as Lord and Savior, Lord, in this moment of quietness, Lord, bring them into your kingdom. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, right now in your heart, ask him for forgiveness. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.